This is a extended Unknown Sounds broadcast, and for this program, I'm gonna have Period Bomb, the lead singer, talk a little bit about their experience, and also Elle from Brooklyn, a visual artist, multimedia, and following that is a map project that I've worked on as one of the organizers of Unknown Sound Collective. And in that project, it involves travelogue, embedding audiovisual images, poetry, sound work from different regions, and collaborating with musicians, artists, poets, different people learning from each other in different regions of the world. So it's sort of a kaleidoscope of different activities in this program. It's a little bit longer than usual, and it lacks in transitions because it's a sound collage. So it's going to move perhaps a bit disorientingly from an interview and some background sound music from Baltimore with Period Bomb to a sequence of interview snippets in Brooklyn with Elle, and then afterwards around the world to a few different places following that. So if you tune in the middle and you're confused, well, I guess life is a bit confusing.
Where have our little world taken us? The following is intended as a video archive of experimental artists' interior worlds, these that are externalized through their work and the interchange through artist communities. I want to better understand how this impacts political culture. I ask the following questions. What's your project called, and is there any particular ethos to it? What is your art process? Who do you work with? What ideas are you considering in your work? Do you consider it political? How do you live? What are your cultural, political, regional influences? Are you involved in mutual aid? What are your relationships like? What are the flaws in your work and process? What are your hopes and dreams for creating? What are you valued for by others and by yourself in such communities? What are your political views? Top issues. What political issues affect you most directly? Does this affect your work? Anything more you'd like to say? Each section here is meant as a studio visit, but also a glimpse into the doings of a wider community and the cultural political repercussions of experimental art making. In celebration of experimental media, I sit in my small room in the city, hoping to compile an archive of experimental media with thought towards celebration of localized cultures and communities. Or that is to say, we are among friends. How do these communities gather in the US despite wide-ranging issues that lead to increased alienation? Unbridled capitalism and the difficulties that democracy has undergone in the US in terms of disenfranchisement, poorer social safety nets, insufficient economic regulation, inequality, and mental health crises, among other societal ills, might seem pervasive, but there is hope represented among mutual aid and art-making communities, where, although racism, sexism, and all the other dashisms are still a risk, there is some hope in terms of cultivating alternate futures. A provide thought and optimism in terms of the better aspects of these communities. There remains hope.
It's working. What are we doing here? We're living the dream. Alright. If I can't decide an outfit or only half an outfit, I don't have to decide. I can have my rats running loose. Hi, Nike! I can just spend my days finally going back on all this band stuff and making it into the movie it deserves to be. Slowly working on that. What do we got here? Oh, fun of tourist pass. What do we got going on over there? We're recording Dino, Felipe, the tapes that he asked for. We're listening to it out of trusty old band. Next we got Salvador Cresta on deck with a 90-minute explosion of home recordings. And comp number 6. Let's look at some different festivals we've thrown. That one, this one, just recently. Renaissance Fair was pretty great. Here's our VHS collection. And as you can see, we just running out of iTunes onto a tape. through an aux cord. So what we do.
Action.
So, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So, here's... copies. Meanwhile, I'm living in Salvador Costa. I'm making the copies. DJ's famous potatoes. We get a lot of free veggies from like Food Not Bombs. Got tons of stuff in our little fridge right now. Thank you, Free Farm. Thank you, Food Not Bombs. And this is our rat kingdom. Boys, wake up. Mama, you sleepy? Oh, you sleepy, buddy. Where's Yeti? Yeti? This is their mountain, Rat Mountain, built by our friend Leo Stafness, incredible artist.
Question is, what is your project called, and is there any particular ethos to it? So the project is called Synapses Ode to Analog, and there is. I just mourned the passing of my grandfather, and I was creating a machine like an altar, mourning the death of the analog technology. The next question is, what is your art process? For me, I think in strings or constellations. And part of the thinking is making and trying to make sense of a problem through my language. So that language would be constructing objects or prints or paintings or collages of any sort. The next question is, who do I work with? And I am myself, and I work independently mostly, but I'm open to collaboration at any point. It's just, I work on a really weird schedule, so. Next question is, what ideas are you considering in your work? So the ideas that I'm considering are artificial intelligence, surveillance, capitalism, disability, accessibility, technology, and simulation, as well as trauma. The question after that says, do you consider it political? And I said, yes. All works are political, even subtly. How do I live? I live well, but isolated. Next question is, what are my influences? Duchamp, Joan Jonas, Tracy Emmons, Martin Kippenberger. And the next question after that is, do I consider myself religious? No, I don't. I'm not into religion, but I do like mindfulness. Am I involved in mutual aid? No, not to the extent which I'd like to be, but I do try to read about mutual aid and integrate those ideas into my artwork. Next question is, what are your relationships like? And I think mostly sturdy, but oftentimes complicated. Next question is, hopes and dreams, and I would hope to be understood and to be heard and to somehow implement change through my work. I just ultimately want to be seen for kind of who I am as a human being, because I feel like a lot of times the world dehumanizes us. The next question is, what are you valued for by others? And I think it's my ability to understand suffering of others or relate to it. The next question after that is, what are my political views? And I often say that I hate politics, but my father was always very much interested in watching the news and being able to keep up with contemporary world issues. So try to look for the opinion that I have through the pieces of art I make. The next question is the top issues that I discuss, and those issues would be surveillance, class and wealth, artificial intelligence, racial justice, disability, and climate change, as well as all of those things encapsulate an overarching theme of geotrauma, which affect me most directly. I'm mostly affected disability, surveillance, class and wealth, and climate change, and trauma. And then the last question that I got was, does this affect your work? And I think most certainly it does. I think the overall trauma affects the way that I connect to the world, and then also am able to kind of work in the world, because anxiety causes me to overthink everything, and I'm so distrustful of systems that it's hard to let my guard down to actually let people in to understand what's going on. So I'm working on that, and I'm working on clarifying language through my objects so that I can let people in. But yeah.
discussed. I think that the creation of personal art, once too social, often is more likely to become political. The Unknown Sound Collective started with sound art compositions, organic field recordings, experimental voice, and minimal instrumentation, a noise and freak folk ensemble that turns towards the otherworldly. I came from a place of understanding language as something that held the meanings that I injected into it. However, as I've continued writing, I've become more aware of the reader and the outside meanings that language can come to possess beyond my own understandings of it. It has become more important to me to reach the reader, so that their interpretations become meaningful for them. I don't only wish to write to make something beautiful, but to create something that is beautiful also, and that it is appreciable. I suppose there are many understandings of the beautiful, and art creation represents creating a beautiful thing that exists between the maker and the interpreter. Though I enjoy experimental work in other areas, I still appreciate beauty in a more traditional sense. That is, I like impressionistic art because it still achieves beauty, but it leaves room for the energy of interpretation. Productions began with poetry, then music, visual work, and progressed into the first film, made in early February, made upstate and in Brooklyn, and many conceptual, online projects thereafter. With potential VR directions, I then embarked on some experimental travel art trips across the world, from Kenya to Rome, Tbilisi and so forth, returning to have our house's one and only house show, for which people came from Baltimore, D.C., Massachusetts, and New York. The revolutionary nature of avant-garde requires constant rejection of norms, even as they are newly established. The idea that the rejection of old norms is a conscious one may be less aligned with the view of avant-garde as a tool comparable to insanity. As within the legal definition of insanity, even there is the idea that the insane no longer have control over themselves and therefore are no longer conscious of their actions. This later idea of avant-garde seems dissimilar, in that it is considered a conscious process, so conscious that it became increasingly known to the public and politicized to the point where its use resulted in political instability. According to Kavanescu, the term as it can be defined etymologically is anything social, political, or cultural that retains the possibility that its representatives be conceived of or conceive of themselves as being in advance of their time, and that support the idea that there is a bitter struggle to be fought against an enemy. I thought about how recording even some of the radio sounds was rather like a commentary on talk radio and religions, radio and pop music and so on, and that through the recording and the later manipulation of the recording, the speakers on these stations emitted little half-thoughts at furious speed with constant interruption, which one might rightly think was some sort of narrative of temporality or even ephemerality of the human condition, or perhaps just a gentle rebuke of all that was contrived in the thinking of the Zenith of Michael Savage or of the 60s pop song. There was also sort of another level of interaction, because my friends were in the car also. This has also been done, probably. I wouldn't want to say was as simple as subverting all that I hear on the radio or the overly structured way before I practiced and performed. It was really just a thought about the degree of intention in how we craft the sounds in different schemes. I then used the vocoder to link the choir and the radio noise, which was really a horrible marriage, but like a lot of horrible marriages, not without its degree of conflictively human. Which at least illicit something about the human condition, and art seems highly tied to the human condition, especially sound art, because of the wonderful human facility for language and also storytelling, and for almost automatically structuring everything with our minds, even a ridiculous mixture of choir, music and radio noise. The avant-garde expanded into not only a social revolution, but also an artistic one during the 1870s in France. While the artists made the avant-garde a mode of constant experimentation, the political revolutionaries who used the term were intent on propagandizing the avant-garde to stimulate social revolution. In fact, though Marxist implications to the word avant-garde as political revolutionaries imagined it as an overthrow of the bourgeois and the idyllic triumph of the working class. Some artists, however, refused to create material for a fixed social cause, but preferred to remain within the ever-changing realm of artistic experimentation. And the conflicts of interpretation of avant-garde reveals the malleability of the term, so its relation to insanity is necessarily qualitative and context-specific. This is a localized and cross-cultural phenomenon. In the past, guitar poetry and tape recordings played a significant role in Russian music and classical culture from its beginnings in the 1950s, perhaps even to present day. Not because of any expressly revolutionary ideology represented by this music practice, but rather its capacity to reflect the will of the people. I want to showcase these friends and collaborators, but I don't like staging images. I like to find a moment as occurs naturally. I like the sense of wonderment. I like to walk down a path, and then take a pause, and that is where the photo happens. Here are their voices, undisturbed. I am always ready for the moment to occur, and at any point, when I am looking at something, I am thinking now, is this beautiful, and would it be beautiful also within a frame? I know I am at a loss, sometimes, that not all things are capturable, not even with this seemingly accurate medium. I almost like the feeling better, when I know I cannot capture it, but at the same time, I enjoy making something new, rearranging the textures of an image, finding the face in it. This is also the story of beginning to create, and then learn from others. I didn't know how to make music, so I took a shower. I am mostly interested in the discrete forms of things, and therefore noises that are concrete and more realizable in the real sense. I want to capture these realities, dim and foggy as may seem, because I think that the world is intrinsically beautiful, and that includes the sound of water, the snow drips, the melting, the river and pipes of this house, the opening and closing of doors, and especially the way that we inhabit spaces, which I find most of all haunting and ineffable. I am interested in the surfaces refracted through longings which can be felt through intonations, and the discordant nature of these melodies. The echoing aspect can be useful in terms of creating atmospheres that are nearly claustrophobic in the manner by which they emphasize and amplify the living voice and the existential desires for that which is good, that which is felt, that which is sound, but also reveal the backwards and circular nature of the surfaces both created by and creating through the meanings that it generates. This music is made for no instruments. It is made for the winter, and it is made for being alone, but not being thoughtless towards otherness. There are public spaces, Union Station, which reveal the interaction between self and other by creating an echoed sense of space between the voice and the ambient. This furthers the commentary of the innate music of the outside, especially in human spaces. Given that our movements are so contrived, and our tendency as listeners and creators to fabricate meanings out of sound, it is born of the special appreciation, a as often described by the lyricism, which I will not explain as much of it speaks for itself. I imagine, for the oblivion of knowing, that which is beyond oneself even as one is made of one's illumination of it. Each album on the internet is sorted by tags. There is a hierarchy to it, but shaped by the self-descriptions, the music tag has been split now into the songs of the faithful. And the songs of those who have placed faith in they are not sure, but they are falling through the confusion of modern life, in a smoke of gasoline emissions and data mining, hiding out in their small apartments in the second cities, not calling themselves the creative class, sometimes helped along by parents, who drive their cast-off cars, after all, working as baristas, and thin and full of animosity, except when they are not, sleeping on the burnt mattress found and kept from under the bridge, folded into the prius, dragged up the stairs, never cleaned. A sheet on top, stolen from CVS, to burn their sage, to fold their Aperture magazines, to place Susan Sontag on the floor. Beside Virginia Woolf and a mixing board they call their short-lived devotional because they want, more than anything, a symbolism burnt and true, an escape, but there is none. And in the subculture they have only built another prism to distill the thoughts of centuries into another petty discourse, though this is a more comforting environment to settle into. The coveted prayer bell rings out another time, maybe in the corners of the new American lie. I'm mostly concerned with how personal, local cultural and political movements, even when marginal, reflect a way of life, and how these connect to community identity both at home in local villages, as well as nationally, in more cosmopolitan cities. What new forms of self-expression are there in seemingly avant-garde communities? And how has this been affected by new information ecosystems? I theorize that perhaps local, smaller voices are aired more frequently than in the past, as repression may not be so obviously acute. But perhaps these voices are more frequently manipulated in these information ecosystems, when not directly suppressed through state force, as well as political coercion. These are open-ended questions. Looking into others' online worlds created a web that led us in that little journey together, the first of many, perhaps. Finally, me and others got in a car and went to Montreal because we were starting. Montreal was beautiful, an isle full of yellow flowers and people speaking a language I couldn't understand. I was delighted to buy batteries for delay pedal at the shop with the money we had earned from playing at the bar. I slept alone in a white room, and an orange light came through the blue dark of outside. It is one of the better sleeps I can recount. We wandered astray in Vermont, and were taken in by a kind friend of a friend, who put the five of us up. She had an infant. We all walked around the town, the gallery, the shop, and then down to the stream, where I became entranced by currents. Soon we were in the Green Mountain Forest, running out of gas. Soon we were in New Hampshire, playing gallery, and taken in by woman who was happily married to a man. She showed us the sort of hospitality that involves checking if everything is okay and talking at length. I was forever rummaging through my car. We came upon that place, Albany, and played a bar. It fell to ghost town. But he and Dion, some others stood out with those smoking on the street and I stayed on his couch. Glad of the time away from the others. A day of solitude. I went to the corner store, and a man on the step told me not to look so grim. That city always made me sick, and this time it was bad. I slept most of the days, and could hardly stand. Lying down was also a pain, but easier to endure. The firehouse was covered in black mold. I went to his apartment. He stood outside smoking a cigarette and I lay in his dirty blankets watching videos of Sylvia Rivera's old speech. We went to Boston, but I was in such a fevered haze I can hardly remember. Except there was a man who wore a suit and told us that global warming was fast approaching and stayed in character the whole night. And her friend Seth involved a lot of fake blood. And he was there, kind enough to host and drive us in his quiet, clean way. They had formed a side project and wore flowers over their faces while ripping into guitars that I failed to contemplate. I felt a whole different way by the time we arrived in Bushwick. He was with us now, music, concrete, and new friend. We walked to the tracks, I got a rundown of his life, and then we were joined by a songwriter. We played at two cafes, but our last at the venue was cancelled due to poor planning. Off to Philly, then a dry basement show full of boys. I, soon after, was invited to play another and another. I would often return, that is, to meet a stranger in the park. All I can remember is some kid had a spoken word performance with a lot of potted plants. I was under the impression that he brought them, or even played his set so as to dispose of them at the house, which he did. And she said, sure, I'll take them off your hands, but perhaps only because she was too confused to do otherwise. She lived in the mansion in Annapolis, a grand derelict building that would have been destroyed decades ago if it wasn't so expensive to do so. The upper floor had three mattresses covered in plaster from the ceiling, which was falling through. College kids and fresh graduates wandered the place, stomping around, smoking indoors, arguing over nothing. I was thinking of ghosts again. Santa Fe was wide open, sky so dark. The end was no matter because the desert was made of it. I felt very random when I left them for a trip to Sacramento. Sacramento was a nothing place to me. I did not know what to think of it, except that I was there. I took some buses, one with a new bus driver who asked the others if they'd tried banana slurpees before. The others had no such inclination. I rode the bus for free and walked down the avenue to a cafe, which I stood outside of for an hour or two before it was my turn to play. I had been invited to do a noise set and did so. It was well received, and I darted out afterwards into the back of a car, and from there, a Greyhound. Back to San Francisco then, but first this burning desert sunset. Work. I liked his set better, because the noises were strung together in a cohesive fashion. The visiting band's sound seemed just an empty provocation. I would later do a set with him, noise and vocals, the kind of set that makes everyone just sweat with intensity. Then he dropped me off at the station. I like the concept of disintegration, because it is like loss, remembering, and discovering a beyond or unknown. I am mostly interested in the discrete forms of things, and therefore noises, that are concrete and more realizable in the real sense. I want to capture these realities, dim and foggy as may seem, because I think that the world is intrinsically beautiful, and that includes the sound of water, the snow drips, the melting, the river and pipes of this house, the opening and closing of doors, and especially the way that we inhabit spaces, which I find most of all haunting and ineffable. I am interested in the sulfurs refracted through longings which can be felt through intonations, and the discordant nature of these melodies. Motels on both sides. I wrote to someone on Google Maps. The bus and a harmonica that kept me entranced, and a pain built in my head that could not be surmounted, only felt until he met me in the billowing white bus bay. He has a red beard and brown hair. He lives at an art collective in that is in an old firehouse. This furthered the commentary of the innate music of the outside, especially in human spaces. Given that our movements are so contrived, and our tendency as listeners and creators, to fabricate meanings out of sound. It is born of the special appreciation, as often described by the lyricism, for the oblivion of knowing that which is beyond oneself, even as one is made of one's illumination of it. The lyrics, though hardly discernible, are thus: it is quiet now, sound of the thought I said aloud, to travel up and down the river, disturbing those in the midst of deep vast dreams of their own.
Funny Maryland houses, Pittsburgh basement, the plains, a Montreal springtime bar. Vienna with those who are thinking different and live near the bright gardens of Bonn. Maybe one day in dark Cairo will be all over. But already across the torn Midwest are so frighteningly my nemesis that the Baltimore Texan record shop in Fleur. Friends of Santa Fe, High Desert, a Hawaiian detour, India nearly missed, Lisbon and absentia. Some broadcasts across the Pacific Northwest and Burma, and the old thought of New York State. It's Philadelphia. Haunt, the rare DC spot, disappeared in normalcy. Some few visits in Appalachia, not quite Florida, Chicago, not fully realized, nor LA. All over Massachusetts, some in the South, say Richmond, Tennessee, Virginia, but a dirty noise fest in Sacramento, definitely. Siberian dreams one day, Budapest community space in a friendly, picturesque region. We would host at home this month. It was a gem of a city, really, even when filled with dark neon night and the houses piled on the hills, I could feel the mountain proximity and sought escape from nocturnal enclosed spaces, wanting instead the afternoon side of the forest.
Though he knows more of where I was born.
though I walk to the docks thinking of the bright day of leaving. The air is nice, the cranes and slight snow on the mountain, but I can't imagine looking at you. I'm alone in my rooms working on the wall, where I sleep, I think to myself of the dead. My grandmother, my parents, maybe even my first lover and family. Partially anyway, ancestrally anyway. The dead are static as a living hurdle towards oblivion. When I dream, I think of lanterns as one voyage. Great ocean, I can only